A train arrives at the Atlantic City rail terminal. That train carries upon it one Isaiah Ali and his academic assistant, one Julia Bergstrom. They're here on peculiar business. Usually they rarely leave their domain of Philadelphia. That's where their business resides. That's where their church resides. The ministry have very little in the way of church of sect presence in Atlantic City, which has been largely dominated by Bahari politicking in recent years. But nonetheless, here is Ali stepping off the train, Julia carrying his bags behind them. They are waiting or scheduled to meet with a fellow minister, Sasha. As mentioned by Outstar, Sasha isn't the same kind of vampire as Isaiah Ali. Where Sasha is a minister, Ali is a setite. One is a millennial, one is a, well, if you want to accept this epithet, be Dave, a boomer.
Pre-millennial.
Pre-millennial, let's call them that. So, as you're getting off the train, Julia is looking around. Mr. Ali, sir, I'm fairly certain I know what this Sasha individual is supposed to look like, but I can't see them anywhere. Have you ever met them before?
Julia, you should know better than most that looks can be deceiving. I myself do not wear my standard face when we are in a strange locale. And to anyone that looks at him, he is completely unremarkable. He could be anybody.
She, however, is not. She looks every part the academic student. Glasses, hair tied back, maybe even a turtleneck jumper, and of course she has a laptop bag under one arm, she has your case of paraphernalia in the other hand, and pretty much falls down the train steps as she lands on the platform. But it would be unbecoming for her to expect you to carry any of this.
No, we must learn to make our own way in this world, leaning only on the one true God. As she stumbles a bit, I actually move away from her and survey the crowd to see if anyone is looking at her or standing around as if they are expecting someone.
Well, let's have our first roll of the game, shall we? For Isaiah. I think we will go for a wits and awareness roll.
My very favorite roll in this whole entire game. Perfect. that is going to be 3 successes.
Lovely. With 3 successes, you can indeed see at the other end of the train, waiting at first class, a young minister, clearly young by the fashions, a young individual. You don't know them to be a minister, first and foremost, but it's likely that given your status, you should have travelled in first class, but that's not the way Ali rolls. He feels more at home among the thick of the blood, the thick of the people. It shows restraint, the fact that you can do so without just leaping on them. Travelling in first class is for Camarilla vampires.
I walk nearby her, and I just stand nearby them, and I just say, "Blessings of God upon you this fine evening."
I am very much busy playing Candy Crush on my phone. But when I hear those very interesting words, my head goes up. I'm wearing a hoodie, so, you know, even though first class and everything, it's just very spacious and nice to sit with my legs upstretched on the other seats in front of me. No one is sitting there. And I'm looking up to Mr. Isaiah, and in the response, I say, "Hi."
Hi, Julia Bergstrom. I work for Mr. Ali. You should be reverent around him.
Yeah, sure. My sneakers are not super dirty, but I put them carefully down from the seat in front of me. There are two empty seats there. And just gesture very casually for Isaiah and his companion to sit in front.
And produce a handkerchief and like sweep the seat a little bit and then just sit down very slowly.
Oh, come on. I bought them like a week ago. It's fine.
I assume you did not call me to this barbaric place to discuss the finery of modern footwear.
Barbaric is first class. You know how much the tickets cost these days? Jesus.
Hmm. Sasha, you should know, Mr. Ali travels among the people. It would be perfectly acceptable that you would expect that we would be traveling to your fine Atlantic City in first class, but that is not Mr. Ali's way. He teaches us humility. Humility is important. That's what Mr. Ali teaches us.
It is not what I teach, it is what God requires, Julia.
I absolutely agree with that statement and everything, and this whole thing, totally great. I earned my money in a, you know, very honest manner to be able to just have a little bit more spacious seat for myself. But, you know, this is just a momentary thing. Anyway, we're not here to discuss trains. I do have some very important information that I think might be interesting to you, Isaiah. Mr. Isaiah, how should I address you? Is there a proper way to do that?
The name that you refer to me as is simply a label placed upon this shell. It is my soul inside, which serves the one true God, which is the only thing of value, and it is, of course, unknown and unknowable. So, Mr. Ali will do. And how should I refer to you?
Just Sasha is fine. So, Mr. Ali, listen, have you ever heard of, there's a guy I've been in touch with recently. He's one of these, I'm looking around just to make sure no one is listening. Is there any older people like right nearby?
The station is pretty busy, but it's mostly people getting off the train more than getting on. It is late, it is midnight, but no one is standing around where you are sitting.
I'm just making sure that there's no one in the nearby perimeter that is eavesdropping on us, and lowering my voice a bit. He's a blood mage. He's called Felix Lodz. Have you ever heard of him?
Does that name mean anything to me?
No, nothing.
I do not know this name, but proceed.
Okay, so he's a book guy. I've been doing some deals with him. He had some interesting stuff that might actually interest you, but we can talk about it later. More interestingly, though, something that I found very enticing to investigate, and I thought that you might probably help me, is the fact that he told me about a certain one of us that has allegedly become not one of us. The thing that we were previously, you know, a little bit more breathing, a little bit more beating hearts, being able to eat, have sex, that stuff.
This is what I was telling you, Mr. Ali. This is what I was telling you, that the word that came from this Sasha, all respect to you, that the word that came was that there's one of you in Atlantic City isn't like one of you anymore.
Yeah, so that, and he wants a hefty price to get a little more information from him, and it's not like I'm that, like, you know, I can spend some money on a ticket for the first class just to sit comfortably, but I don't have that much resources. So yeah, I was figuring out that maybe with your help, we could, like, just for the good of a, you know, this set guy, we could maybe do some deal together and try to find out what the hell happened.
For the sake of this set guy god? What are they teaching the children of the ministry these days?
Oh, heavens above, heavens above.
Listen, last thing I've heard is that Seth is not something up there that we are looking up to and like a freaking thing on the cross or whatever. We are him. He's within us. So why would I refer to myself as something more than a guy? Listen, we might have different way of seeing that and different way of believing, but ultimately we have the same goal in here.
Yes, we are, of course, members of this same family. All are the children of the one true God. We are simply blessed to be aware of this. If this is true, it would be of profound significance. Unfortunately, I deeply suspect it is simply some sort of trick. Did you know that some of those of the weak and diluted blood that are arriving these nights are capable of such things? Some of them can still walk in the daylight and yet still are like us. I would need to see with my own eyes this one that was like us and no longer like us.
The prophecy, though, Mr. Ali, about our Lord coming back in...
Julia?
Oh, I'm sorry. Someone bumps into Julia, and your box of files and her laptop bag go skittering to the train platform. Oh, I'm so sorry. And she's apologizing to the person who bumped into her. Oh.
I immediately look at the person that bumped her, and I would like to activate premonition.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go for a roll. Let's go for a resolve and auspex, please.
Resolve and auspex. Ooh, that was good. That is 5 successes.
Oh, okay. You can see your very expensive laptop being sold at a pawn shop not 1 kilometer away from your current location. And in fact, you can see as you flash out of your premonition, it's always a little like a hallucination that layers itself over your current surroundings, that the zip on your laptop bag that Julia was until now holding is completely open. That in the knocking, someone has done a very quick snatch from the laptop bag.
I just, I point into Sasha, I say, please apprehend that person, they are a thief.
Whoa, what thief? What, who? This guy?
Yes, that person that just bumped into Julia.
He turns around at that and starts running.
Mm-hmm. I just sort of like, I am not one for fisticuffs, but I take off running after him.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Ali. I'm so sorry.
I would like to activate awe, if that's fine.
Mm-hmm. In the train station.
Yes, at the train station. Mm-hmm. And specifically, just, you know, walking towards that guy who is running away, just try to wave to him and, hey, can we talk for a bit? Come here. I think I know you from somewhere.
Ooh, okay. In that case, Isaiah, as you bound with surprising speed down the platform towards this mugger who suddenly stops in his tracks, so you almost collide with him as he holds the laptop like a shield, his eyes fixed on Sasha. And his eyes are... just wild with delight at seeing you. And he's looking down at the laptop and looking at you and looking at Isaiah.
I just take the laptop out of his hands and I just say, blessings of God upon you. Next time we meet, I may not be quite so merciful. And I activate Eyes of the Beast so my eyes turn red.
The man lets out a scream.
I've been vague about this, but I have Mask of a Thousand Faces up. That's what I mean when I look unremarkable.
Mm. You let the illusion drop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and you make your way into Atlantic City with Sasha and Julia. And meanwhile, also making their way into Atlantic City at this time by car, we have John Smith, known as John Smith, the real name Joe Putanesca, but certainly prefers John Smith, returning to Atlantic City for the first time in several anguished months, given the last time you were here, and the frank bollocking that you received from your family in New York for everything that you and... It wasn't you specifically who fucked everything up, but given that you were the only person that came home, it was all put on your shoulders. Your good friend, Jimmy, is driving you. I gotta do it. It's nothing personal, John. But if you don't retrieve her, or if you don't kill her, like you've been told by Donatello, well, again, nothing personal, but I've got the order to put a bullet in the back of your head. And you know that, and you know I don't want to do it, but I will. This is a test for you. This is a test. You've got to do right by the family. They forgave you. They welcomed you back with open arms. And they don't do that often. It's because of your Uncle Mo. He pulled some strings. He pulled some favors. He's got friends. But now we're going back, and you've got to do the right thing. You've got to do the right thing by the family, because if you don't do the right thing by the family, pow! I got one bullet for you, one bullet for the girl. So, really, it doesn't matter that you're here. I could do this job myself, but the fact that you are here means you've got to do it to prove that you're loyal. You understand? We don't want to have to use blood to make you loyal. Do you understand? We want you to prove that you're loyal. You understand?
I've been listening to this for 4 hours, Jimmy just going on and on and on, and I'm laughing to myself. I'm thinking how convenient it is that they've underestimated me this much, because I could so easily put 5 bullets in Jimmy before he puts 1 bullet in me. But I gotta smile. I gotta let him natter. I gotta let him flap his lips to make him happy, because for the moment, just need him to drive me. That's all I need to happen. So I smile and say, gee, Jimmy, yeah, gee whiz. I didn't realize the situation was that bad. Thank God you're here to tell me how bad I fucked up. I didn't even know. Didn't even know how bad it was. I'm that dense. I'm that dense, Jimmy.
Listen, I just gotta call it like it is, Joe. I don't rate your chances. If you go back to New York empty-handed again, you might as well not be going back to New York. And frankly, you're not going back to New York empty-handed. If you're empty-handed, pow! Your head goes off. Bing, bang, boom.
Bing, bang, boom.
So that's why I'm sticking with you. It's not something Uncle Mo told you would happen, but I'm not just going to be waiting in the car. I'll be by your side every step of the way to make sure you're not slipping a word in her ear, trying to get her to bolt, or something like that. She's very important to the family, and you just, what you did, you told Donatello she was dead, D-E-D, dead. And
she was, Jimmy. Use your goddamn head. Think about it. Really? She's alive. You're telling me that Arlott, who put people on shelves for fun, who make them do little dances. They can't do it, but it's just happened here, random-like. You telling me that, Jimmy? You actually believe that, crock of shit? It's clearly a trap.
Listen, I don't know anything about that. It's Zingaretti, the Three Bears guy. He's the one that got in touch. He said she's walking around. You're the one that said she was
dead. He's a schmuck.
He is a schmuck, but he's our schmuck. Which is why, you know, we're going to go speak to Zingaretti and maybe cut off his other 3 fingers.
Of course we are. No, Jimmy, I've told you like I told everyone. This is a trap. They sent me as a messenger. That was the only reason they let me live. Now they've gone, let's send a little rumor out. He'll come back, shoot me in the head, shoot you in the head, and fuck the Hakata from all the rest of the world, because the AC lot, oh, we're so badass.
You think this is my first bullet to the head? You think that'll be my first bullet to the head? Listen, I'll be with you every step of the way. If someone tries to get the drop on us, we just bang, 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 we come out blasting, everything's good, we'll go back home, say I was a trap. But Zingaretti's been good to us, you know, he's been back and forth, obviously. He was with Ornella, then he was with that Blumenau lady, and who knows now. But he knows where the paychecks come from, and that's New York, that's us. Therefore, I reckon this is good information, so... He actually leans over while driving and slaps the side of your face. Don't be so paranoid, Joe. It'll be fine. We're together on this, aren't we? Buddies! And he makes sure you see his gun when he gives you a gentle punch to the arm to show just how close buddies you are.
Yeah, and I think to myself, I really am going to need to be quick when I do it, because there's no way that he's getting out of here alive, whether the AC lot let him live or I let him live. But again, I'll hold my tongue, because to be honest, I like him thinking it's going to be easy. It isn't. Last time, the AC Kindred completely decimated us. I admit, I underestimated them, everyone did, and most of those guys are now dead. I ain't doing it again this time. I've got extra gear in the car, got a knife-proof rest on. But yeah, hopefully they off him first. One thing's for sure. I'm not killing her. And if she doesn't want to go back, I'm not bringing her. But I need to make sure she's okay. This whole situation is shitty.
It is shitty. You arrive at the Three Bears in the parking lot. You are parked up, of course, being of the family you are. Giovanni, not Putanesca. You wouldn't get valet parking if you said Putanesca. But Jimmy knows what names to throw around. You get parked up and get told you can go straight up to Zingaretti's office. He's expecting you.
I let out a low groan. Being here again, I recall the last time I was here.
See, it's easy. Easy, we just go straight up. Straight up in the elevator. Nothing to it.
I gingerly feel my back, where the last time I was literally here, a bunch of people knifed me from behind. Remembering that pain, I kind of use it to focus, and I am immediately checking every angle, every corner, as I enter.
Meanwhile, at the Luxembourg House for Injured Women... we have Natalie. Natalie was left for seemingly dead, or at the very least torpid. That is not how she is now. And it is her that has drawn so much attention to Atlantic City from the Hecata and the Church of Set in this case. Natalie, for the last few months, you have been a resident of Luxembourg House. You have been receiving care, been receiving treatment, been receiving, well, frankly, coddling, because, as far as you know and everything you are being told, you are an amnesiac with no identity. You know your long-term past. You remember how it was to be mortal, and your high life, such as it was, as Natalie D'Angelo, taking drugs, going to exclusive parties, generally having a rocking good time. But after that speedball, that big hot dose you took, everything's a shattered pain. You can only see splinters of it. You do not remember anything of your undeath. You remember nothing of Sammy G embracing you. You remember nothing of your adoptive Cappadocian mentor. You remember nothing of the trip to Atlantic City. You remember nothing of your encounter with Edith Blumenau. You remember nothing of Sammy G's final death at the hands of John Smith. All you know is that when you woke up, you were here in Atlantic City. You used to live in New York. And that the people at Luxembourg House have been adamant that you need to stay there under our observation, under our care, because you don't know what happened to you. You don't know if you might be in danger. We can look after you and we can make you better. And as cloying and as domineering as it sounds, It has been a strange comfort. It has actually been nice to have people who care about you, even if it is in a bit of a prison-like fashion. So here you are, a Luxembourg house. You are, on one hand, a patient. On the other hand, one of the volunteers there. You do things like help strip down the beds. You sometimes lead the talks between the people who are resident here. What are you doing this night? Oh, and I should note, you are not a vampire anymore.
Natalie is, as you said, just existing. She has no idea what she is and who she is. And she's terrified about that, as anyone would be. She's spending most of her days writing in a little notebook she has with her at all times. Every time that she sees something, just vaguely maybe reminds her of something about her past, she writes it down. But then a couple of hours later, she tears the paper out, just crumples it and throws it on the ground, and because it wasn't a real memory anyway. It's what Natalie does most of the day, which is why she's not very good at socializing at the center at all. She's so much in her own head trying to figure out what she's doing and who she is that little people at the center really knows her or wants to spend time with her, really. Tonight she is helping out in the kitchen. She wants to be helpful, despite being in her own head all the time. But she's just kind of working as a robot right now. She's just monotonely cutting, chopping vegetables, putting them into bowls, doing whatever people tell her to do, just to have some sort of existence.
There's a knock on the kitchen door. Do you mind if I come in, Natalie? This is one of the helpers at the centre, a man. He's shaped like two balls stacked on top of each other, a round one with a slightly smaller one balanced on top. He wears spectacles, thick spectacles around his head, and he has a light scattering of hair on top. You know him as George. George has been helping you, giving you sessions, and occasionally just trying to regress you to the period that you have forgotten. Do you mind if I come in?
Sure, you can come in.
It's okay if you don't want to right now. I realized we're behind on some of our tests, and so I really wanted to catch up.
I really don't want to do any more tests today. Can I just chop carrots instead?
Well, I'm sure that will be appreciated for tomorrow's lunch, but there will be other people who can do that. There is something that I need from you that only you can give, and, you know,
Brother,
it is time.
How many carrots left? I don't have time. I don't have time for stuff like that. So look,
I know. I know this isn't something that you enjoy, but it is time to draw your blood again, because we need to determine if you have any drugs in your system. Or, you know how it is, Natalie. You turned up on our doorstep, an unknown. We don't know why you're here. You don't know why you're here. And I've got all of the equipment set up in my office. It won't hurt, just a small pinch. We'll take your blood, send it off to a lab, as ever, and we'll talk through some of your problems. See whether you've recovered any of your memories. What do you think? It won't take a few minutes. And then, I have something of a treat for you.
A treat? What do you mean?
Well, you know that Walgreens on the corner, the store, just outside, on the other side of the road? You've been permitted to go out there a couple of times, but they've been limited because we've not been sure about your mental state. I have a shopping list for you. I would love for you to do a full shop for the centre. So spend a bit of time there.
No, I can't go outside. I'm sorry.
Would you be happy with a chaperone?
Can Can't they just do it for me? I really don't want
to
go.
It's very important to your recovery. It's very important to your recovery that you start expanding your boundaries outside the center. We love having you here, Natalie. We will have you here forever if we need to. But it is important to your recovery that you go out occasionally. And the store is just on the other side of the road. If things get too hairy, you just run straight back. We'll have the door left open for you. One of the guards will be on the door watching, making sure nothing happens. Nothing will happen. No one has come looking for you since you arrived. No one has been asking after you. You are...
This son... Hurts, I think.
No. It's night time now, Natalie. It's fine. It's raining, the stars are out, it's cool outside, none of that usual city humidity. You can go outside. I know you have this fear of sunlight, but you can do it. I have faith in you, but first we need to draw some of your blood. And that really isn't an option if you wish to stay here.
Natalie puts down her knife with a deep sigh. She hasn't really faced the man that's been talking to her while he's been talking. She's just looked at the carrots. Who's gonna chop the carrots then?
I'm sure there will be another one of the many people staying here that will happily take up the baton. The baton. Let's get to my office so that I can get this procedure over with, shall I?
Okay.
Okay. Come with me, dear. George is a, as you can tell, a somewhat cloying creep of a man, but he's never done anything that you would consider inappropriate for his station. In fact, you're not even sure what his station is. In terms of what he's just said about no one coming looking for you, you're not sure that's entirely true. There has been someone who you have overheard occasionally, someone who's been addressed as Edith at reception asking how you're doing, but she's never come to see you. She's only asked after you. So, let's get comfy, shall we? Which arm would you like us to take the blood from tonight?
Same as always. And she gives her left arm.
Okay. Could you squeeze onto this, please, and then let go? You know how to do it, of course, don't you? Don't need to take much. Just need to get a good vein.
Okay.
He looks at your arm in a way that can only be described as hungrily, and then looks back up at you. If you don't mind my saying, it's really quite fascinating. Anyway, let's take this, and he extracts a small vial of blood nice and quickly, slaps a plaster on it. As you know, take this off in an hour, leave the other one on for, well, as long as you like, really. So here's the shopping list. Off you go. Oh, and some cash. You'll need some cash.
Natalie takes it, and she's about to leave. And then she turns around and looks at him and says, "Why is it again that you're taking my blood? You do urine testing every day."
Something about your situation, Natalie, the way you arrived here, the facts surrounding your being here, as you will agree, it's no doubt very mysterious, and we have to just make sure that you aren't a risk to anyone else at Luxembourg House.
I haven't done anything here.
But we don't know what you did before you got here, do we?
Oh, me neither. Okay. Where?
It's just across the street. You can't miss it. It says Walgreens on it. You've been there before. I know you went with the group, but... And that was during the day and you had your freak out. But it's night time now. You can feel a little calmer.
Okay.
That's right.
Puts on a light jacket and ventures outside. She is not happy about the situation at all. It is incredibly anxiety-inducing for her to even step outside the door. She is constantly looking around. She's constantly feeling like someone is watching her, but she knows that there's no other place for her to be, so she needs to follow the rules and just deal with it. And she heads to Walgreens.
Okay. Meanwhile, back with Isaiah and Sasha. You arrive at the Felix Lodz bookstore, Books and Bindings, in Marsh Green, in Atlantic City. It's way back from the boardwalk in the popular part of the city. It's a wonder that it does any business at all. You've been here before, of course, Sasha, as you've done some deals with Felix in the past. This place is new to you, Isaiah, and doesn't look like the kind of place you would frequent. It's a... You prefer things a little more ordered. And this is very much your stack of books, or stacks and stacks of books, in very precarious piles that, quite frankly, their standing up is a miracle. As you open the door, which is unlocked, the smell of mothballs and dust just hits you. Despite being dead, it still hits you. You can still smell it, you can still taste it, and it's old.
I would like to ask Sasha one thing before we go in, before we depart the car.
Yes.
What is the providence of this place? Are they kindred? Are they Camarilla? Are they... What clan are they loyal to? Is this someone's herd? Who is the prince of these lands? I must know the politics of the situation to conduct myself accordingly.
Now, what would Sasha, the millennial and a pretty fresh minister, know about the political situation of the city?
So the political situation of Atlantic City is it's an anarch barony. It has a fairly structured barony in it to its hierarchy, but they've never brought the heel down on you. The baron is a woman by the name of Edith Blumenau. You may have met her once or twice at her club, or her gambling den, to put it in a better way, the Ruby Throat. But she... Yeah, you don't have anything in common with her, and frankly, she has no interest in you. You're just a fledgling anarch, so none of my business. In terms of this guy, Felix Lodz, he is one of the last holdovers of the previous Camarilla setup in this domain, mainly because he is Tremere. He never attends any kind of anarch gatherings. He was here, from you understand from reputation, when the Camarilla were present. And it would appear that when they left Atlantic City, those of whom did, they left Felix behind. Whether that was to keep the rear guard strong, or whether it was let's just get shot of this nutbag... Because he isn't the most sociable of vampires, and has some peculiar tastes.
Okay. So I'm not very much in cahoots with the higher ups here, but it's mainly in anarch place, so we don't really have those like white sized people and all. But this guy here, he's a Tremere, right? And it seems like he's one of those leftovers of whatever was here previously, you know, the rigid guys. And the issue is, it seems like they kind of left him behind. So he's just stuck in here, having to make deals with us and stuff. And when it comes to us, as you and me, like us, it doesn't seem like the higher-ups here really care about what we do. Like, I never had any issues. There's this Baroness, I think her name is Edith. I've met her just once. But yeah, nothing really to pay much attention to. I think we should be able to do whatever shenanigans we're doing. We're trying to find that human, not human person without attracting the attention of whoever is up there. They just don't care that much.
This is a warlock's haven. Understood. And I drop Mask of a Thousand Faces. Because you can see through it anyway, don't want to walk in the door and offend the man.
And given that I kind of manipulated our poor Felix to give me information before I activate or before I enter, just to give a little bit of a positive first impression, because I'm not really happy. I'm not sure if he was very happy to share that information with me previously. And I go in.
What is Isaiah Ali's actual appearance, then?
A very severe looking North African man. He might be approaching 50, or just a younger man who had a very, very difficult life. There are a little bit of pockmarked scars on his face, like he probably was near an explosion at some point in his mortal life. And when he gets near the door, he very much doesn't touch it. He just walks to the door and stands there and waits for Julia to open the door for him. He touches nothing in this place unless it is expressly handed to him.
Julia lets Sasha go first and then holds the door open for Mr. Ali. Would you like me to wait outside, Mr. Ali, or should I attend?
Come along. I may require your assistance with manipulating some matters.
Oh, of course, I'd be delighted. Just give me a signal.
Stem, remember what I told you about the warlocks. They are capable of putting mystical bonds and wards on places, objects, that may prevent me from being able to enter, but would not prevent you from being able to enter.
I think you referred to them as being like the children of Thoth at some point.
They, like so many others, have lost their way, yes. But for the time being, we are here as guests and must conduct ourselves accordingly.
Of course, I won't speak unless spoken to. Mm. By you.
Yes, just keep your eyes open, watch and learn. And then I go in.
The ground floor of the bookstore is, well, empty of people, at least first. You can have a wander around, look at some of the books in their piles. Ali, you're something of a learned man. You do recognize some of these titles, and there is a rarity to a lot of them. There are some good finds here. Most of them are in very poor quality, which is presumably why this is a bookbinding building as well as a store. There is a small bell on the desk in the old-fashioned way, like a hotel. Ding. I'm just coming. A thin, small, white-haired gentleman with top button done up on his shirt, a cardigan over his shoulders, pants a little too short for him so that you can see a little too much of his socks, walks down the stairs in his slippers, pad, 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 creak, pad, pad. Oh, Sasha! Sasha!
Hey, hey, Felix!
Hello!
Nice to see you. Hey, what's up?
Yes, it's delightful to see you back here.
Hey, are we not interrupting anything? Sorry, I brought my friends over because we just, you know, I wanted them to meet you because you're freaking first stop here in the city.
Oh, Sasha, it's so nice to have friends again. I was just up binding an original copy of Ulysses, would you believe, came in. Of course you know that. You got it for me.
Yeah, whatever. However I can help. Anytime.
And who is the gentleman?
Oh, I will let the gentleman and the lady introduce themselves. Starting with the lady. Oh, no, okay, starting with the gentleman.
Julia shakes her head frantically at the idea of introducing herself before Mr. Ali.
That's why I quickly changed my position towards Mr. Ali.
I am Isaiah Ali, humble servant of the one true God.
Oh.
And I have been brought here because I believe you are in possession of knowledge of many forms.
Well, I am. Oh, I know what this is about, isn't it? Yes. I was having a chat with Sasha the other night. She brought me a wonderful copy of Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. I mentioned to her how, through a friend of a friend... Well, I was at a... Hang on. I told Sasha that I'd charge for this information. She's very, very good. That they know how to get me to just run my mouth. They're so charming. Yes, I don't run my mouth. It's just I get quite lonely. And... I require payment. I think that's the way it's done, isn't it? Yes, so...
If you are burdened by loneliness, have you considered taking on an acolyte? Motion towards Julia.
I have sent requests to the New York and Philadelphia chantries. I have asked, I have requested, and never anything. So here I am by myself. I'm sure one day they will remember me. I've got my 47 cats upstairs.
Felix, you just had to say one word, you know. I always bring you books and all those, like, trinkets and, you know, inanimate shit. Just say a word, I can bring you a person here, a helper, to help you out. Look at this mess, everything is dusty as hell.
Perhaps...
We can get it all cleaned up with someone.
Perhaps that would be a proper compensation, the right form of companionship to ease the coldness of these nights.
Exactly.
I appreciate the kindness, I do the advice, but I am an obedient member of my family and a member of the Karamia, I think it's called, and we follow certain rules, and I can't break those rules, I'm afraid. I've got to follow them. So with all due respect, cold hard cash is my preferred currency, and I would be quite happy if you could render that.
Okay, cold hard cash and the companion that is all into the Carmerilla thingy. Okay, sure, noted. Also, this guy in here, Mr. Alley, he is very much interested in a lot of the things. I saw the little, you know, glitter in his eyes when we were walking forward here for all these books and stuff. So I'm sure we can make some deal.
A deal, then?
Before we proceed with resolving this accord, I must know two things. Exactly how much you are requesting in return for exactly what information. I would not insult you by implying that fictions about kindred that have somehow returned to life is innately valuable. I require much more proof than this.
Well, Sasha has been free with the information, I suppose, but why not? Why not? So here's what I will tell you.
We have no secrets among our family.
Oh, well, your family is better than mine.
Yes, it is.
It reminds me of something that I once read in Dickens. I think it was Tale of Two Cities. Yes. So, a friend of mine is friends with the Baron of Atlantic City, Edith Blumenau, something like that. No friend of mine. But when a few months ago there was some little invasion, a micro invasion from some New York kindred, they came around poking about trying to get involved in businesses down here. I had nothing to do with that. But one of them was a young woman, probably a fledgling, I think that's what she was described as. and caused a bit of a stir for a while, I understand. I think they all did. And but anyway, this happened. And then, story ended. My understanding was they went back home. Now, then, about 2 weeks ago, when I told Sasha about this, my friend saw the girl again. Now, you might think this is just her clan of death business, nothing to do with us. Except, my friend is very good at looking into people, if you see what I mean. Getting a read on them, finding out what exactly they are. And she swears blind that the first time she saw this girl, she was one of us. And the second time she saw this girl, she wasn't.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we play the scenario Return to Atlantic City for Vampire the Masquerade 5th Edition. Our storyteller was Matthew Dawkins, with Craig being joined by B. Dave Walters, Outstar, and our dear friend Clara Herbel. Return to Atlantic City was originally streamed at Onyx PathCon 2021. Part of the profits from Onyx PathCon went to the Bodhana Group, which is a non-profit that advocates the use of tabletop gaming as a directed, therapeutic, and clinical practice that can benefit personal growth as well as enhance social and educational services to individuals and families. You can check this great cause out at thebodhanagroup.org, and we can find a link in the show notes. The music was made by Atrium Carceri and was used with permission from Cryochamber. Check them out at cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for more music for your gaming table. We'd like to give massive thanks to our Champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoyschobert, Nastasha Rawlerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, Camilla, Ludwig Manford, Bob DeLang, and Julian for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, this show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult of Indie Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a Champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. Thank you again for listening, and remember, death is not the end.